Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Nix, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. Drought affects people differently. I've seen it up close more than once, and I want to share a few personal stories that highlight how deeply it can cut. And this is for my non-country listeners. The first time I was truly impacted by drought and started, I suppose, at an early age to grasp the weight of it, I was quite young. I remember overhearing a conversation between my father and my stepmother. They were sitting at a large red gum handcrafted table, which is in our house now, but working through the grim math of the day and the harsh reality, bullets were more expensive than what each sheep would fetch at the sale yards. Now, to put it into context, back then, bullets were worth under 10 cents. That's right, under 10 cents. On their property, the grass had since long gone. Pellets were keeping the stock alive and things were looking grim. That was in the Western District, where the market had been flooded with sheep sales due to ongoing dry conditions, because as most may understand, that when things get tough, farmers destock to save either the stock that they want to keep or just to save on the bills of feed. Now, I watched as a teen as they tried to justify the cost of mustering up all the sheep, the trucking and selling the livestock, only to realise that they'd be lucky to break even. Now, it was gut-wrenching to witness, especially, as I said, I'm a young teen trying to grasp the financial, emotional, personal impacts of drought conditions. And really, the wider community ramifications, because it's not just one farmer that suffers, it's usually a whole community. My father at that stage was a third generation sheep farmer, newly back on the land. Thankfully, they'd had off-farm income and could reduce leased properties to stay afloat, but it was still horrible. And at the time, it was devastation to all farmers in the Western District. I don't think people understood back then, and potentially not today, even though social media has brought us all together, but back then, I don't think people really understood when they tucked into a lamb chop what the farmers had to endure to ensure that paddock to plate experience, or realistically, that paddock to supermarket to butcher shop to plate experience. Years later, I found myself on a property near Lancefield with my then boyfriend and a group of his mates. It was a place that we would go to shoot rabbits, camp out, and just enjoy being young. The woman who owned the property, a tough third-generational farmer, she was an older lady. She was feisty and hardworking, true soul of the earth person. She welcomed as she always did when we arrived, but she shared some devastating news on our first day. She had to cull or destroy 100 sheep. She couldn't afford to feed them, and worse still, she couldn't afford the bullets to put them down. She'd scraped enough money just together to pay a local contractor to dig a huge pit. She asked us if we could help. Of course, we said yes, and then, of course, the rest was up to us. We pulled our money and bought the ammunition and then spent the next 2 days helping to cull the sheep and bury them. It was awful. But, again, it was the reality of drought, and it left a serious dose of reality on all of us. Fast forward to what they're calling the Millennium Drought, which was from 1997 to 2009. I can remember sitting on my back porch area talking to the moth, the man of the house, about just wanting some green around the house, you know, and it could have been as simple as just tomatoes in a shrub in a pot, as we had been looking at brown dirt and dust for nearly 2 years straight. We moved up here in September 2000, and when I think back then, I don't think we really knew what we were heading into. And like everyone, I suppose you think the rain will come. Harsh winters, hot summers, and low rainfall. Little to no rainfall, actually. Rising costs and scarcity of feed for stock can play with mental health and wellness big time. Hence why I wanted to see a couple of pots around the back door with some green in it, just because we had forgotten what green, let alone rain, looked and felt like. Back then, hay was coming in by the truckload for 10 and 20K at a time. I'd feel ill each time the trucks would go past our front gates to neighbours or and ourselves because I just understood the financial impact it was having. For me, the worst part was not seeing the dry conditions but seeing bored, lifeless cattle standing around in paddocks. When they have grass to munch on, they're much more animated. They're constantly moving, they're laying down, they're seeking shade in the hot days, grouping together around their calves in the cooler months, or whilst chewing cud and doing what cows do. But when there's nothing to eat, they linger around gates, fences and stock troughs. They are lost, they are bored, and they're pained. You can see it on their faces and in their bodies, and it's absolutely gut-wrenching. Over those years, we fed apples, bananas, any hay we could get our hands on, day-old bread from the local bakery. We even stripped our poplar trees of leaves, anything to release the boredom and get food up to them. And look, over time, things improved. Rainfall came some years with a ferocity, and we saw 100-year-old records broken. But here we are again. In the northeast, we're staring down the same kind of crisis, as is most of regional Victoria and parts of Australia. And we are not alone in this. Many regions have been declared drought affected. We haven't here yet, but we're still suffering. The worst parts include South Australia, Southwest Victoria, and Northwest Tasmania, but this area is expanding in its breadth and width due to drought. Old-time farmers are saying it's the worst drought since 1967. And they share stories from their youth around these times through media releases and on social media. Primary producers are once again being forced into massive, heartbreaking decisions about their stock. Victorian Farmers Federation President Brett Hoskins stated this month in an interview with Australian Financial Review, "Where do you as a farmer draw the line with saving core genetics and breeding stocks and surviving? It is harsh." Now we see trucks carrying cattle, sheep on the roads all the time. They're under great pressure to get to the markets quickly, but the sale yards are overwhelmed. Record numbers are being seen once again. And when you talk to stock agents and truckies and sale yard teams, you realise that they are tired and feeling helpless. It affects everyone. There aren't enough abattoirs, so even the processing is backed up. The whole system is seemingly at breaking point. And in the middle of this, we now face the prospect of new taxes on farmers and primary producers, taxes that threaten to hit an already struggling sector even harder. Above and beyond the new land taxes that will apply to investment properties, holiday homes, commercial properties and vacant land, and not to mention the windfall gains tax that comes into play with land value increases by more than $100,000 due to government rezoning. So to put into some context, Victoria has approximately 5,250 sheep-focused farms, including mixed operations, and over 15,000 beef cattle businesses. And for all of them, I can assure you, it's frustrating to watch this new legislation unfold. Cattle farming in Victoria generates nearly $3 billion annually and supports over 10,000 jobs and is critical to both the state and national economies as a leading producer and exporter of beef. So it's an industry that does contribute to the economy at a local, state and federal level. And for a small business advisor such as myself and a primary producer, a bit a small one, it is extremely upsetting. And frankly, it's quite baffling. In this potty, I'll try to unpack what's happening, how drought, low rainfall and increased financial pressure are affecting not only the agricultural sector, but whole communities. I also want to state a disclaimer here, that this tax also affects commercial properties as well. And in some media reports, this is going to break many larger companies who have been hit with massive increases in land tax. The average increase for commercial properties is estimated at 63% statewide, with some areas such as the Macedon Ranges expecting an average increase of 75% or 726 per property. In the Strathbogieshire, a commercial and industrial property may face increases ranging from 34 to 100%. Anyway, back to this new levy, the Victorian Fire Levy, and business impacts on regional farmers. So the Allan Labor's government overhaul of Victoria's fire service funding has ignited fierce debate and anguish across regional Victoria. The new Emergency Services and Volunteer Fund, or ESVF, because you know we love a good acronym, is replacing the Fire Services Property Levy, FSPL from July 1, 2025, and bring sweeping changes to how emergency services are to be funded and how the costs are distributed. In this poddy, I'll try to examine the facts, figures and business impacts on regional farming communities, with a focus on generational farmers who also serve as CFA volunteers, and the roll-on effects for drought-affected regions, whether they've been officially declared or not. So, number one, some facts and figures. The new Emergency Services Evaluation Fire Levy replaces the Fire Services Property Levy. It expands funding beyond the CFA and Fire Rescue Victoria to include additional services such as Vic SES 000 Victoria, the State Control Centre, Forest Fire Management Victoria and Emergency Recovery Victoria. So this levy is forecast to raise an additional $765 million annually by 2027-2028, contributing to the broader scope of emergency services. Now, what this brings is a significant cost increase for farmers. So the variable rate for primary production land will be set at 71.8 cents per 1,000 of capital improved value, or what they call a CIV. This is a stark contrast to the 17 cents per 1,000 CIV paid by general ratepayers. Now, I'm not dissing that for a minute, people. We're all going to be hit. The Victorian Farmers Federation estimates that the median annual levy for farmers will raise by 109% from 621 to 1,299. And large-scale farm operations could see levy bills in the tens of thousands annually. And this is what pains me, I think, the most out of all of this, because most farmers that have large land holdings are usually asset-rich and cash-poor. Anywho, average increases across property types. Households will see an average increase of 63 per year. Farmers will see an average increase of 678 bucks per year. Now, there will be a rebate for volunteers to eligible CFA and Vic SES volunteers for their primary residence or farm, providing they meet specific service criteria. This provides some relief, though only to those who qualify. And it is my understanding that farmers or people who are volunteers must pay the levy upfront, then apply for the rebate. So there is going to be drought and concessional report, but this is only to drought declared areas. But drought affected farmers will be eligible for exemptions, and additional drought relief packages will follow, I suppose, since there's so much advocacy happening about this. There will be existing concessions for pensioners, veterans and single farm enterprises, and they will continue as far as my research tells me. Number two, direct and indirect impacts on regional farmers. So this is going to bring around a severe financial burden. Many generational farmers, often the backbone of our local CFA brigades, are facing significant levy increases, sometimes reaching thousands or tens of thousands of dollars annually. For large-scale operations, individual bills could, and remember this is only an estimate from my research and I'm not good on the figures, but some bills could climb as high as $70,000 to $500,000 per year. That's right, half a mil. Now, this brings on reduced investment and growth because higher fixed costs are now squeezing cash flow, leaving farmers with less capacity to invest in vital areas such as equipment, technology, staff and infrastructure. And this is especially dire for drought-affected farms where every dollar is already stretched extremely thin. This will have an impact on local employment because to offset the increased levy, many farmers may be forced to cut staff. Now, yes, I know I'm talking about the big boys, but you think about the staff that they have, managers and assistants and so forth. You know, this is going to contribute to job losses in regional areas. And the Victorian Farmers Federation warns that this could further reduce the pool of available CFA volunteers too, compounding the risks during emergencies. Volunteer morale and CFA resilience. Now, okay, yes, you can say, and not a lot of people are saying this, but if there's a rebate and it's available for eligible CFA and Vic service, Vic SES volunteers, it'll only support those who qualified. You know, widespread financial pressure is already affecting volunteerism. And I think last week, I think it was Friday, over 150 CFA brigades reportedly went offline in protest, citing disenfranchisement and frustration with the system. With reduced profitability and tighter workloads, few people are going to have the time or the capacity to volunteer. And that's really undermining the CFA model and rural community resilience. Because if you can't afford to leave your property when a fire is impacting your region because you don't have the financial, I suppose, backup or ability to volunteer, how is that going to work? You know, across the state, rising living costs are a critical factor for discouraging people from volunteering. Volunteering Victoria and Volunteering Australia are highlighting that financial pressures are now one of the most significant barriers to volunteer participation, especially among younger people. You think about it, mortgages, young family, how can they volunteer? It's hard out there, cost of living prices. I mean, we're all suffering it. In 2022, 25.5% of people aged 18 to 34 cited financial reasons for not volunteering. And over half of our volunteers incur out-of-pocket expenses. And almost half of volunteer-involving organisations report that cost of living pressures are affecting volunteer commitment and attendance, with 92% saying the problem is worsening. And you think about it, we're an ageing community. How are our ageing community going to volunteer, especially if they're a farmer, when, you know, they've got to probably take on three jobs and restrict their spending just so they can volunteer? A lot of them won't. So many volunteer-driven organisations are going to face financial strain, reduced funding overall, and increased demand for services. And this is going to make it harder to recruit, retrain, support volunteers, further compounding the decline in volunteerism. The lack of community infrastructure and support for volunteer programs is also being cited as a growing problem, with many small organisations at the risk of folding. Number three, roll-on effects for drought-affected farming communities. Now, this is around community and supply chain effects. So drought compounds the problem. Many regions are already in drought with rainfall deficits, declining farm incomes. This new levy adds to the financial strain and even some exemptions for drought-affected farmers. Destocking and freight. Drought and financial stress have led to mass destocking, overwhelming abattoirs and creating a regular demand for freight companies. When livestock numbers drop, trucks will sit again idle and local economies will suffer. Sale yards and abattoirs. Victoria has around 35 to 45 operating abattoirs and at least 20 major sheep and cattle sale yards. And these facilities are critical for farm business viability. But as destocking continues, throughput drops, impacting jobs and service viability. It's a huge ripple effect. You know, lower farm income means less spending in local towns affecting retailers, machinery suppliers, stock agents, shearers and contractors. And we had a massive conversation the other night in this house about those retailers. Because when farmers are not buying tractors or upgrading infrastructure, they're not selling stock or regular stock, so the stock agents are not being having that call. People will put off shearers and contractors. You know, this affects everybody from fencing through to dams or dam installers, whatever you like to call the people that come with that big, beautiful machinery and dig out holes in the ground so that you can have a dam for water for your stock. Alrighty, number four, low rainfall and historical drought context. Now, rainfall trends across Victoria, because we've had a long history of drought with major events in 1967, 1982, 2006, and the Millennium Drought, which I mentioned before. Now, the Millennium Drought saw Melbourne's water storage drop from 97.5% to 33%, and 2006 inflows into the Murray system fell to the lowest on record. Now, recent years have seen to continue below average rainfall in many catchments, with some areas experiencing a 20 to 40% decline in annual stream flow compared to pre-1997 averages. And the Bureau of Meteorology's latest statements confirm that many parts of Victoria remain in rainfall deficit, compounding the stress on agricultural output and community resilience. Now, This also affects business resilience. During droughts, farm investments fall, local employment drops, and community resilience is tested. This new levy, even with exemptions for drought-affected areas, is going to add another layer of complexity. Number five, what are the roll-on effects for freight destocking and support industries? Okay, so drought and financial stress has left to mass destocking, overwhelming the limited capacity of abattoirs. And Victoria hosts a significant network of lifestyle stockyards, although this has been reduced in the last few years. Smaller holdings still face significant challenges in accessing abattoirs. And based on industry and transparency project listings, and my research is not significant people, and I'm happy to be corrected with any aspect of this podcast, I have found that it's at least 20 major operating sale yards for sheep and cattle across the state. Now, freight companies now are facing irregular demand. There's periods of intense activity moving livestock in for sale and slaughter, followed by idle trucks as stock numbers dwindle and hay becomes scarce, because we are going to have this peak and trough situation happening. And believe me, the scarcity of hay and feed further reduces freight activity, impacting local transport businesses and their employees. You know, I know of local farmers that are driving halfway across the state just to pick up a few bales of hay because the trucking companies can't get out to them, you know, this week or the next week. So it's impacting everywhere. So, retail and support industries. Reduced farm profitability leads to less spending in local towns. And I know this for a fact. I look down the main streets of some of our towns and I don't see the farmers in there getting their groceries or going to the butcher shop if they don't eat their own meat. I don't see them going to the retail shops, and certainly their women are not out there either shopping, because they just know there's not a lot of money in the bank. So, it affects retailers, you know, the machinery suppliers, as I mentioned, the stock agents and the service providers, because it means fewer shearers needed, contractors and seasonal workers are required. And it really does overall reduce the rural employment and economic activity. Now, I'm not in the sheep industry, but I've got, I suppose, connections through family in the sheep industry. And I thought I just wanted to talk about this for a little bit more. Again, I'm happy to be corrected. So sheep and wool. So destocking in response to drought and low prices has significant impacts on the sheep industry, just like the cattle industry. In Western Australia, for example, a 10 to 15% reduction in flock size was observed during export bans, with similar trends possible in Victoria during drought. So lower sheep numbers reduce the demand for shearers, again, stock ages and transport, while increased supplies to abattoirs can depress prices further. And I think that does worry me a little bit, and I'm not an economist. Some articles I'm reading, not just beef and sheep, but dairy and grain on a national level. You just watch, you just wait, you just see. So this is the time to act if you feel you need to. Reach out to your local MP, write a letter. Write a letter to the local paper, you know, raise awareness, attend a peaceful rally. But remember too, people, I know it's hard because you want to call a spade. Trust me, there's been some yelling and screaming at our place just behind closed doors. But remember, once you get personal, you lose the argument. So talk up the personal impact to you and your business so that people understand. Support your neighbours and local farmers and commerce groups. This is a big one, as we're all feeling it. Sometimes that conversation over the fence, down the street or in local venues will make the world a difference. And if you're feeling uncertain, don't sit and suffer in silence. Reach out to your tribe. This might be your accountant, your financial advisor, your farm consultant, or your business mentor. If you're feeling overwhelmed, seek out professional help. Make sure you're armed with good advice and you are able to make well-informed decisions in what is shaping up to be a critical, horrible time for rural Victoria. Thanks for listening. Take care and keep looking out for each other. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on socials, sign up for my newsy, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. Remember, anything is possible, especially in the northeast of Victoria. Until next time, cheerio.